flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
It's Nico Harrison alongside Jason Kidd, the GM and head coach of the Mavs.
Did you see Jason Kidd in that video?
He was not thrilled.
Oh, my God. Hostage video gets tossed around a lot, that phrase. But Jason Kidd sitting there with his backwards hat on and his glasses, just staring. It was the Ben Affleck, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Because he's going on. Nico Harrison is talking about how got this deal done, you know, over the weeks. And he's like, Jay Kidd didn't know about it. He didn't know. And he's just sitting there like,
they're going to bury.
Because I probably would have stopped you.
They're going to bury us. We'll bury ourselves. He's like, yep, you got it.
So bad.
That can't garner much hype or much belief in the Mavs, listening to Nico Harrison kind of fumble his way through that press conference and laugh about burying himself. It can't make you feel very good as a Mavs fan. I know Mavs fans don't feel good about it. I do think people are way too down on Anthony Davis. I still think LeBron has a ton left in the tank. If LeBron and Luka, because they're supremely talented, make it work and the Lakers go on a run, it wouldn't shock me. But I, again, think from a basketball standpoint, they have some things to figure out. A big who plays defense with a ball handler like Kyrie, that should work. Do they have enough talent to get back to an NBA Finals? Probably not. But I see how that can work short term. But you're putting a lot of eggs in the short term basket to break through in what I still think is the Celtics league to try to win right now, while Luka in 3, 4, 5 years, if he gets rededicated to the game or fits with LeBron or the next superstar the Lakers land, because you know they're going to land another one.
Yeah.
Whoever that is, and Luka's winning championship after championship after championship, it might go down as a trade as bad as Mookie Betts.
So maybe I overrate Luka Doncic. I don't know, but not going all the way back to the likes of like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem.
I'm sorry to jump in. What's your biggest concern with him? Like, you have to have some concern with Luka. Is it basketball shape? Is it the lack of defense?
No, I recognize that he's pretty one-sided. Like, you know, he's a dominant offensive player. He's not great defensively. I don't think, just because of his size, and I'm not talking about his fat, I'm just talking about like his height.
At his height, yeah.
He's not as much of a liability as like an Isaiah Thomas or like Iverson or something like that.
Or even Kyrie.
Or even Kyrie. Like, he's bigger than that. And I think on a good defensive team, maybe you can hide him a little bit better than others. So, yeah, like he's not a perfect player by any means. I still think it's insane that he got traded. So, not counting, you know, guys that I don't remember, like Oscar Robertson and like Kareem, like when those guys got traded. So, like, real more model. Look at the last 30 years of big time trades. I think he had the most trade value because of his age. Like, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, even Charles Barkley, when he got traded from the Sixers, that was like a big haul. when Shaq got traded to the Heat, like, it wasn't the age that Luka's at.
So who should they have been asking for?
Who should they have been asking for?
Yeah, like, if you're going to trade Luka, who should they have been asking for instead of Dave?
Giannis? Like, I mean, if you want an old guy, or if you're okay with an old guy, go after, like, Giannis.
Should they have asked for, and can the Celtics even do this based on where they're at?
They should have asked for Tatum.
Well,
they should have asked for Tatum, not Tatum, that you get him.
Would you rather have Jaylen than Anthony Davis?
I would rather have
it's close, right?
That one is close. I guess I would probably take Jaylen. And if I'm taking Anthony Davis, I'm at least getting like 1,000 first-round picks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, they should have gotten more.
Like, if that guy's point was, oh, Kyrie and Davis line up well. I love it. He's like, well, these guys, this is for the window. It's like, you were just in the NBA Finals because of the other guy.
Right.
The guy you traded was the reason you got there.
And your window's much bigger with Luka.
Correct.
Much bigger.
And, like, just because you had a hard time pairing up guys to play with Luka, that's not Luka's fault, is it? That, like, Porzingis got broke and, like, Kyrie, whatever. So, yeah, no, they should have, like, we always say, like, oh, player X is untradeable. It's like, well, unless, like, Connor McDavid's available, or unless, like, you know, Shohei Ohtani's available. That's the thing with Luka. You can't call anybody up and have them laugh at you with a trade proposal if you're offering Luka. You could offer Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and be like, listen, it's not working here with Luka with us. Would you take? Can we take Shai?
We want Wemby.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the Spurs.
Yeah, they'll say no.
The Spurs shouldn't laugh at you over a trade like that. They might say no.
So but is Wemby available? They're like, before you hang up, it's for Luka.
Right.
Like, oh.
Right. Like, we're not offering you Derek Lively. We're offering you Luka.
Like, I think you could ask for anybody. So to land on really just Davis, because there's another player in there and there's one first-round pick 4 years from now. Like, you got just Anthony Davis. That is a wild player swap.
Do you think this says anything about the Celtics? Because I think this trade does say a few things about Boston and their standing within the league. I think, number one, the Mavericks look at it and go, we were there last year. We cannot beat them. We need to do something. Now, it doesn't mean they're right in the return, but I think they looked at it and said, with Luka and Kyrie, we're not beating that team. So I think it says something about the Celtics on that level. I also think, and this is not normally my side of the street to play, but you should feel real good about Tatum and Jaylen and their dedication to the game compared to Luka. Like, those are two guys who largely play every night. Those are two guys who are ridiculously in shape. You don't have to question their motor
too in shape.
And their dedication. You know, there might be an off night here where they spend an extra night in LA. We're all questioning it. But largely, they're dedicated to the game. They're in shape. They're not Embiid or Luka, or even Wiggy said this. I mean, Jokic, I think, gets a little more benefit of the doubt because he's won, and he's such a high-level player. But, like, even Jokic, you know, these guys are in shape, dedicated. You don't have to question it. They play every night. There should be an appreciation for those two when you see a guy like Luka moving, and you know what it is. He's not a two-way player, and he's not in shape. Those guys are two-way players, and they're in shape, and that's why they're here, and Luka's on the move.
Yeah, it's still, though, I wouldn't go to the degree of, like, we need to move on from him because he's, like, overweight and he's not great on defense. But that's fine. Even if you do that, even with some of the flaws in his game. And you remember Brian Windhorst was, like, ripping him during the finals last year.
Nick brought this up before the show.
Ripping him.
I totally forgot about that, but right.
But he's also a Kyrie guy and, you know, all this stuff. But now also being a LeBron guy, like, it's an interesting thing. I don't know where.
Maybe over the summer somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has.
Anybody else in his life? Nobody could talk to this guy. It's like, dude, you work for LeBron. And I like Windhorst. I actually don't even mind, but it's like, give me a break.
I've grown to have a lot of respect for Windhorst the further he's gone along in his reporting career, because he started out as like a barnacle on LeBron's ass.
Yeah, it was like a joke. But so, now I kind of
so I have more respect for him. But yeah, I mean,
like, nobody can talk to Luka. Like, who's talking to Kyrie and LeBron?
Fair.
The guys are breaking through to those guys?
Fine. But I believe he's hearing those things about Luka. You can say he's hearing about other players and not reporting on it, but Luka deserved to be shredded for his dedication,
I think. But how do you not?
Or lack thereof.
How do you not call every single team in the league and say, guys, we've decided we're trading Luka before the deadline. I'll listen to 29 other offers. I bet you get 29 offers.
Yeah.
You know, some of them might be like, well, we're going to keep Tatum and Brown and try to figure out. But whatever. I bet you get 29 offers, and I bet 25 of them are better than what you got.
Does it say anything about the...
So for the Celtics, yes, I think it does. I think every year in the NBA when superstars get traded, and it's almost every year, which is kind of fun, I think it usually speaks to how good the top team is or the defending champ is or whatever. Like, teams had to go crazy when... the Warriors were what the Warriors were, or even, you know,
the Miami Heat with LeBron and Wade.
No, but even those guys was a response to the Celtics.
Yep.
LeBron said it himself. He's like, we all went up against the 08 Celtics, and we're like, we can't beat those guys by ourselves. So every kind of super team, or at least champion, I feel like has then pushed these other teams to make these trades. And so we've gone a little bit away from like the three-person super team and more with like these like dynamic duos across the league. But even still, it's like, hey, do we like our team? Like, yeah, we like our team, but it's like, are we going to be able to beat the Celtics? Like, no. So let's shake it up.
And so maybe the Lakers feel that they can. You know, maybe LeBron and Luka, they feel like they can. But I do think it says some strong things about the Celtics and how teams view them. That Dallas was in the finals, and they're not looking to add to get a piece to keep up. They're like, we got to break this thing up. And maybe it's stupid, and their GM doesn't know what he's doing, and I'd allow for all of that. Maybe the league's rigged. And it's just another superstar to L.A. in a long, long line of them. But one thing that does deliver, Keith, you're right about this. The NBA trade deadline, like the significant names that move. This would never happen. I mean, it wouldn't happen in the NFL.
No, never in the NFL.
It might happen every decade in Major League Baseball or the NHL. I mean, Mookie Betts moved. It wasn't at the trade deadline.
Yeah, no, usually baseball, you get a little bit more activity offseason.
So, you know, maybe it might happen once every 10 years. In the NBA, I'm not saying Luka moves every year, but significant pieces move seemingly every year, and the deadline may not be done. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox moved. Jimmy Butler could still move. The Lakers might make another move for all we know.
And I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that a lot of these contracts, like, you know, Supermaxes kind of line up and, like, regular max deals line up or whatever, like, how it's structured. Also, the four-year deals for free agents versus the five-year deals for your team, you can't go any higher than that. Whereas, like, other leagues have kind of crazy contracts. So, like, do I want to trade for this guy who you just signed to a 12-year deal? Like, no. And, like, so maybe it just makes it easier in the NBA. But, yeah, superstars move all the time.
Off like, of that, Luka can't even get the Supermax anymore because he got traded.
Correct. Because he's now in L.A., he's not eligible for the same. So they boned him on that level.
Brutal. Now, I think he'll probably make it up.
Endorsements
overall,
and things
like
that.
Like just being in L.A., if he wants to, if he wants to lean into that, I'm sure he'll be the face of everything they have possible. You know, share it with LeBron for a couple of years and then just turn it over to him. But yeah, like in other sports, the De'Aaron Fox or Zach LaVine equivalent would be like, look at this deal. Like, what a big deal this is. Like, nobody's even talking about that. It's like Luka Doncic just got traded for Anthony Davis.
It's a complete afterthought. And that, you said it earlier, Fox and Wemby?
I like that.
Like, that's
good stuff.
It's not a bad one, too.
Nope.
Moving forward. So you can jump in all day long. NBA trade deadline, what does it mean for the Celtics? Who won the deal, the Lakers or the Mavs? Do you understand why the Mavs did it? Or are you looking higher and questioning conspiracy theories about the league, their ratings, and rigging another superstar to the Lakers? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll get back into Super Bowl 59 as well. We'll power rank what we're looking forward to in the Chiefs and Eagles matchup. Plus, we'll start the first day out of five, Prop-a-Palooza. Five props. We'll give them to you each and every day. We'll pull them all together, see who does the best at the end of the week, or early next week, rather. We'll start Prop-a-Palooza next.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
We'll get the Prop-a-Palooza in a moment.
Woo!
We're making PS5s. I don't know if we're making a milli, but we're making PS5s.
We'll do the best we can.
Yep. The Patriots have made another hire to their coaching staff, according to Greg Bedard, the Boston Sports Journal. It was rumored over the weekend that Wes Welker could be in the mix as Patriots wide receivers coach, maybe Chad O'Shea. Who was here in the past working under Josh McDaniels. That is not the case. They are bringing in yet another Mike Vrabel disciple, Todd Downing.
How about that? He was the offensive coordinator with the Titans for a couple seasons with Vrabel.
So he will be the Patriots wide receivers coach. They did have a very good wide receiver in Tennessee in A.J. Brown, although we've illustrated some of the other skill level at that position, not great. Mm. You may recognize Todd Downing's name from getting a DUI in Tennessee shortly after a victory over the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
What year was this? This was in 2022.
Oh, boy.
According to Nashville television station WSMV, a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer pulled over Downing for speeding in Williamson County. The officer noted signs of impairment of the 42-year-old. At the time, Downing was placed under arrest and booked in Williamson County Jail at approximately 4:30 a.m.
All right.
After the victory, he was released on bail a short time later. So that's probably the most prominent thing
Either the Jets this year.
Yeah, it's probably the most prominent thing I can remember with him during his NFL career. He wasn't a very good offensive coordinator in Tennessee.
No, because they had, I think Vrabel had four different offensive coordinators. Correct. We were going through this list before, and so LaFleur was a one and done, and then he had Arthur Smith, where they had their most success between A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, and then after that, including Todd Downing, not as good. But he's the wide receivers coach. So it just speaks to the...
So I agree with this.
It speaks to the amount of experience they have on the staff. You know, they have former NFL head coaches as offensive line coaches. They have former offensive coordinators as wide receiver coaches.
If I'm not mistaken, they have five former head coaches on staff.
That include McAdoo?
It might, actually.
Yeah. All right, but still.
We'll see what McAdoo's role is coming up. We'll dig further into this coming up, but that's another hire on Vrabel's coaching staff. Another guy who has been a coordinator, who is now a positional coach. Largely, I'd say that's good. The only red flag would be that arrest there and his time as a play caller in Tennessee wasn't great. So add that to the list. We'll get to it with your phone call, 617-779-7937 here on Jones and Keefe. Keefe, every day at this time, all week leading up to the Super Bowl, we're going to give you five prop bets. We'll pool them all together, see who does the best early next week after the Super Bowl. You can bet along or bet against us if you'd like. We're calling it Prop-a-Palooza.
Very excited about this. So it'll be 25 total bets, and we'll compete against each other. You, me, Lanny, and Nick. So five a day. Want to start right now?
Yes.
All right. First, touchdown jersey number over under 15.5. So whoever scores the touchdown on either team can be a defensive guy, special team score, whatever. Whoever scores the touchdown, will his jersey number be over or under 15.5?
So, you know, the prominent over numbers would be Barkley, Kelsey, maybe Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
A defensive touchdown if you want to wager on that. I'm going under. There's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Xavier Worthy, Jalen Isaiah Hurts. Pacheco, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, where you cut it off, Keith. So yeah. I'm going to go under 15.5 for first touchdown. I just think you're playing the odds. There's way more prominent players who could hit it there.
I'm going to go over, and it's because the three guys that you named, I think, are all have a great chance to score that first touchdown. Saquon Barkley, just him to score a touchdown is such minus money. Travis Kelce's been really good in Super Bowls. And then even Kareem Hunt, don't sleep on Kareem Hunt scoring the first touchdown if it's from the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's less guys, but I feel like those three all have a pretty good chance. So I'm going to take the over. Billy?
Agree with you on everything. I'm taking the over.
Okay. Nick?
I'm with Jones. Like, Jalen Hurts had, what, 12 touchdowns this year? All the prominent players are now are below the number 10, basically. So give me the under.
Keith is right. Looking at first touchdown odds, three of the four outside of Hurts are over that number. Then
it's
you get
a quality over quantity.
Xavier Worthy plus 1,100, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Isaiah Pacheco, et cetera, et cetera. So me and Nick on one side, Billy and Keith on the other. What's our next pick here?
Travis Kelce receiving yards over under 59.5.
I think that's an easy over. He just had a bad game.
He smoked the over in the divisional round, but he would have been way under in the conference championship.
He had two catches or something like that against Buffalo. Philly has a really good defense, but they have been exploited by tight ends. Last week, Ertz caught everything underneath. I know he was more of an afterthought in that offense. The week prior, Higbee was pretty good in the game. So I think tight ends can make plays against them. Kelce comes up big in big games. I expect the Chiefs to win. I think he'll be over 59.5.
I'm going to go over as well. Last Super Bowl, he had 93 yards. The one before that against Philly, he had 81. And prior to that, in the loss to Tampa, he had a buck 33.
Nice.
So the only time in a Super Bowl he went under that number was their first one against San Francisco. But this time around, I will take the over.
Over. Easy over.
All right.
I was thinking the under, and then the more I thought about it, Zach Ertz had 100 and whatever yards last week, so I'm going over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he got to eat. All right, so we're all going Kelce on the over. Saquon Barkley rushing yards. The number is 109.5.
That's low compared to where he's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going under that number. I think...
You son of a gun.
I think Spagnuolo, he's got 2 weeks to get ready for this. And I heard Shime say this earlier today. He's largely right. Nobody's been able to stop Saquon. It's not exactly true. Pittsburgh did it in a game. Cleveland did it in a game. Dallas did it in a game. Spagnuolo's arguably the best defensive coordinator of all time. He cooked up a way to stop Josh Allen last week. I'm not saying Saquon does nothing, but I'll take under the 110.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm going under as well. This is good or bad, but a lot of times I'll make these bets based on how I think the game is going to go rather than like really looking at it on the one-off. So I'm leaning pretty heavily towards the Chiefs winning. So if the Chiefs are up, we've seen Philly kind of, all right, we got to throw it. you know, and maybe even have like Kenneth Gainwell back there, like a third down back. Like, we see them throw it a lot. And also, if you look at some of these games, if they can prevent the 55-yard run or the 60-yard run,
got to limit the big play.
I think they can keep them under 109. So I'm going to go under. Bill?
Dude's a monster. I'm going over.
He is a monster.
Here for the show.
Also going over, James Cook had 85 yards last week, and he had the 33-yard run like you guys were talking about limiting. Saquon, different animal than James Cook. Saquon over.
Okay. Right, very good. Number four for today, coin toss. Right off the rip, Jones, heads or tails?
Okay. I'm going heads. I think it's due. Heads are due in this coin toss. I think it's 7 out of the last 11, something like that, have gone tails. I'm going heads on this one.
Tails never fails.
Well, fails sometimes.
I don't think that's right.
Failed 4 out of the last 11 years.
Well, I will go with tails. Bill?
Tails never fails.
That's
going with tails.
Bill's got it. He gets it.
Again, tails never fails.
All right. In your face, Jones.
Okay. Well, it's a win for me.
New Orleans native, John Batiste?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it?
I only see him. I don't know what his music is. I only see him at award shows.
Yep.
He's at like the Grammys every year.
Man,
yeah,
right?
I don't really know what he does. Yeah.
He's doing the national anthem this year.
Uh-huh.
The over-under for time is 120.5 seconds. So you need to go over 2 minutes for the anthem. These people like to make a meal of the anthem often.
Mm-hmm.
I usually feel pretty good about the over. I think the last four years it's gone over.
Oh.
Now, the numbers change depending on the artist, but I'm going over on the anthem.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Over on the anthem. This is this guy's Super Bowl, legitimately. Like,
legit.
Again, what else does he do?
This is huge.
He's going to get up there, get extra screen time, over 120 and a half.
Give me the under.
Wow, Bill.
Give me like a 150, 155.
Bold, wow. Bold Billy is what they call
it. That is.
Yes.
In and out. We got a game to watch, people.
That's Luca. In and out is Luca.
I'm going over. I feel like somebody who plays a piano is going to take their sweet time. Yeah. And you guys had to tell me he played a piano.
He does.
So there it is.
It's all based off of, but the over.
Okay. Some disagreement there. Only one clean sweep. Was it Kelsey?
Just Kelsey over.
All right. So we'll get those out on social media, or at least we'll track them all week long and get them out by the end of the week. Prop-a-palooza, you can bet along, or you can bet against. We'll revisit early on next week. We'll do it each and every day at 10:45 here on Jones and Keefe. We'll stick with the Super Bowl coming up. What are we looking forward to most in this Super Bowl beyond just the game? We'll get to it with all your thoughts next.